Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, my man Max 611's mind's like a weapon. Big brother R, off the new bumpers and R. New York, we walk the walk and we talk the talk. Got some serious sports fans who bark from the heart. Sophisticated talk for your modern day fan. Your number one resource for your fantasy draft. The illest sports show, all you cats got to know. Already we the greatest, imitators got to go. We in the paint, come and join in the debate. We came to shake the stage to the heroes out of space. Where opinions are expressed with rugged intellect. Put it down to represent for the team you love the best. The Knicks, the Giants, the Yankees, the Mets, the Johnnies, the Orangemen, the Huskies, the Jets. And yes, the Islanders, the Devils, and Rangers. When the East is in the house, oh my God, danger.
We in the paint, come and join in the debate. We came to start the combo that'll keep you up to date. Yeah, we in the paint, got the game on smash. Put the whole sports world on blast. We in the paint, getting hot, cause we turning up a notch. On the streets with the realest sports talk. We in the paint, meet the ass in the field tonight. Keep it real, nothing sweet, nothing nice. We in the paint.
In the paint, the realest show in sports. Every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. The call-in number is 347-426-3634. Starring Mark Cunningham as Max 611 and Rodney Jones as Big Brother R.
All righty. Friday night, it's the realest show in sports, In the Paint. I'm Max 611, riding with me, it's my brother, R. Jones, the backbone. How you doing, brother?
What's up? I'm doing good, man. What up? Feeling
yes,
good.
Yes, sir. The call-in number is 347-426-3634 for those out there listening. My Twitter handle is at ENY611. I don't know R. Jones' handle, so I'm not saying
you
it.
You just said it. All you got to do is put a real in front of it. Real R. Jones. That's my Twitter handle.
Okay.
You said R. Jones. Now, here's the real question. Are you going to get the show's Twitter handle correct this week?
Oh, yeah. I got it.
Okay.
It is ITP for life. That's our Twitter handle. And it is capital I, capital T, capital P. I forgot it. What is
oh
it?
Oh, my God. It's all caps. ITP, the number 4. All caps again. Life, LIFE.
I didn't forget it. I just wanted you to do it.
No, I know you forgot it. Stop running. I had such confidence in you, too. Yeah, okay.
No.
I'll let
How
you
are
tell
you
it.
Tonight?
I'm doing quite well. I'm chilling. I'm ready to get into some sports. Some things have got me a little hot. And I'm not talking about sexually.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about being pissed off. Yeah. So we got a few things we got to discuss tonight. Hopefully we got our people calling in tonight. People in chat room, check us out. You know, like Max said, the calling number is 347-426-3634. With that being said, let's get into it.
Yeah. Tariq Hill is basically reinstated, allowed to go to training camp. What are your thoughts on his situation? And please expound some more on the situation.
Well, okay, fine. Let's first talk about what transpired months ago. Actually, maybe even longer than that. Let's just talk about that briefly. First thing is there was an accusation of child abuse.
Right.
Okay, with Tariq's son. Okay, and I think what's the lady's name? Crystal Espinal.
Right.
She was involved in this as well. Not as far as abusing. Well, we don't really know. Because there was not enough evidence. Let me just back that up. He was accused of breaking their son's arm. Okay? And turns out, after all these months of an investigation, it was concluded that there was not enough sufficient evidence and that the child is deemed safe. Child is deemed safe. However, let me throw this in the mix. There was an audio recording, which I believe everybody, if you follow sports, especially football, you've heard this audio tape in which he had said, actually she had said that the son was terrified of Tariq Hill, and he responded, well, yeah, you, my dear Crystal Espinal, you should be terrified as well. That's a threat. You understand? Mm-hmm. So based just off of that, I'm thinking, okay, maybe this guy did, you know, injure his son, breaking his arm. And he also, if I'm not mistaken, let me just go back a little bit. While Ms. Espinal was pregnant, he abused her, throwing her down on the ground, punching her in the stomach. I think, I forgot how many months pregnant she was. She might have been 3 months pregnant at the time. But don't quote me. But the bottom line is she was pregnant. And he's hitting her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Based off of that, I would think that the NFL, the National Football League, would say, hey, we're taking a look, we see what kind of history this is, and you can make basically your own assumption. I'm talking about fourth and fifth graders could have did a better job on this than finding him pretty much innocent of these charges, which is ridiculous. The man should have been suspended, period. So as you like to say, Mac, the NFL has once again blown it. They've gotten it wrong. Again.
Yep.
You understand? And this is a very, very disgusting, that's why I said it, disgusting message that you're sending out. Mm-hmm. Okay? To not just the players. Well, you know what? Let me rephrase that. It is to the players. That you can get away with these actions. And the guy, Tariq Hill, has basically, he set the game plan. You understand? He set the table on how to get out of this. You understand what I'm saying? He and his team of lawyers have just set a precedent on how to get out of these charges. It's ridiculous. This is a dangerous precedent we're setting. Dangerous. We're going to wind up seeing somebody get killed, be it a woman or child, or both for that matter.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. It makes no sense whatsoever. I'm really pissed behind this. I couldn't even believe it. Mm-hmm. When I saw this, when I got this notification, I had to do like a double fuck. I had to do like a triple take. Like, wait, what? Right. What? You know, wipe my eyes, make sure I'm looking at what I'm reading is correct.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't correct. I mean, it was correct, but I'm just saying, this is just not cool whatsoever. They're sending out a very dangerous precedent. This is not good at all. Not good at all. You understand? And also for future victims of abuse that are tied with an NFL player. You understand?
Right.
Be it their spouse, their girlfriend, their children. This is not good at all. This is not good. Serious blow right here.
Right.
And that's my opening salvo on this disgusting situation.
Right. We have a caller with their hand up, so I'm going to bring them in. And they will talk on Tariq Hill and his being allowed to go back to training camp and allowed to fully participate in football activities.
Right.
Last four digits, 5446. Welcome to In the Paint. State your name and where you calling from.
Good evening, fellas. Dominic, North Carolina. Sorry I missed all of R's rant, but I'm pretty sure I could piece it together. I could piece it together, R.
Yes, okay, sir.
But you know what, guys? I'm not going to beat this horse to death. Again, we've all been talking to each other for a minute. We've seen this movie. We've seen how this movie plays out. But let's take this one step further, guys, not to get all non-NFL-ish. But where's all the movements when it comes to this? You know, you got a Me Too, You Too, Her Too, Him Too. And when it comes to the NFL, everybody turns a blind eye. This is where the terminology, and I know a lot of people don't like it, but I was in the military, so I do refer to certain people as snowflakes. Because this is where you get your snowflakes from. They've got everything to say about everything. But when it evolves around big money and big corporations from both sides of the aisle, both color barriers, both genders, everybody turns a blind eye. This is sickening. Or we just had this conversation about a month and a half ago.
For real.
That's how sad this is. But everybody will sit back and say, you know what? He used the process, or he went through a due hearing. He went through the just process. Okay. But you will take certain innuendos and run with that in society, on social media. But when it comes to big bucks, don't give me that nonsense. Don't try to separate the 1% from the 99%. Don't try to separate black and white. Don't try to separate left and right. This shit has been going on for so long. This is, you know what? This garbage in the NFL should have sparked a movement years ago. But it wasn't socially conscious. There wasn't Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and your 5 minutes of fame. Nobody gave a damn back then. And today we find out nobody cares today. I hate to beat this to death. This is sickening to talk about. Because
we talked about this stuff. Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. We talked about this over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And then you wake up and the same thing happens. But again, somebody in his corner, somebody in his circle will put a spin on it like everybody does. This is what annoys me about social media. When you pick and choose spins, somebody will put a spin on this. And you know what? They'll have a leg to stand on because he went through a due process and he was found this, that. Go ahead, play football.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. This handwriting ain't even on the wall. This handwriting is 1970s graffiti on the number 6 train, and it's been there that long, and ain't nobody doing nothing, guys. I hate to be that way. I hate to be the Debbie Downer, but again, this movie has played out and played out and played out. You know what's sad, guys, and I'm going to leave it at this. We talked about once before, even getting a 6-game suspension is criminal. Because when you got that suspension, there was enough this, that, and this to suspend you. Not kick you out the league forever. Not send you to jail. So when that precedence is set, guys, they might as well just take the doors off and say, you know what? Let's let this sleeping dog lie. People will get pissed off for a minute, but come September, whatever.
Right.
Fox will have their ratings. CBS will have their ratings. Sunday Night Football will get their ratings. And the NFL walks away like pigs and shit.
Yep. So,
God bless us. Yeah.
Right.
I will say.
Yeah. Dominic, you know, what you said was great and true. And it's the NFL. Now, you said say he would have got suspended 6 games. He still can appeal.
And play.
Right.
And that appeal will drop it to, what, 4 games, 3 games?
And get paid.
Yeah.
And get paid.
Jesus.
Oh,
and,
God.
Right, and if you look at this guy's history, he's got a history of domestic violence disputes. He's got a history of getting in trouble. And the only reason he's going to go to camp when camp starts is because he had 87 receptions last year and almost 1,500 yards with 12 touchdowns. Run like a deer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I'm with Dom on a lot of things, but one in particular that just really hit a nerve with me. You understand? And it's a good thing because I love the fact that you brought up where the fuck were these Me Too you know, movement people, you know what I'm saying? Women in particular, okay, well, you should have been making as big a stink as we are on this line. Where the hell are you? Where's your involvement in this? Where's your outrage at this? There should be tons of outrage from women. And last time I checked, I think women are pretty much big football fans as well, some of them. Wouldn't you have a say-so in that? That's an excellent point, Dom, that you really hit on that. And it's like, again, it struck a nerve in me. I'm like, yo, you know what? I totally forgot about that shit, believe it or not. I actually did.
Because,
you know,
we live in a society, R. Here's the funny thing, since you piggybacked off it. Let's take all the non-football women.
Right.
Let's just, when's the last time you saw a movement outside a football game? At Giant Stadium, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
When have you seen that? When have you seen people get out there like they do every other week? This is why I call them snowflakes. You're either in it or you're not in it. You can't pick and choose what you're in when you say you're in this. I don't remember Me Too being Me Too minus the NFL.
Right.
I don't recall hearing that. Maybe I missed something, guys. Believe it or not, I am not that socially conscious because it's actually sickening. But it's sad. It's really sad. And guess what? And this is no knock. You got most of the women in the Democratic Party who are, one, minorities, two, have probably the loudest voices right now, be it for good or bad, and they're silent on this shit. They're silent. You ain't heard a word of shit from them.
Nope.
Because they're glued on one thing and one thing only. And that's sad. That's extremely sad. That's like me telling you, I'm running for congressman in New York City. I'm gonna do my damnedest to do something with this homeless situation in New York City. I'm gonna try my hardest to get this asbestos plane out of the New York City Housing Authority. And then I don't say nothing about it for 4 years, let alone attempt to fix it.
Right.
And I don't say nothing. But this, I'm telling you guys, the part that irks me the most is this shit should have been the spark plug for movies. Because nobody has gotten away with it more than the NFL. Just keep it real, guys.
No question.
This should have been the gas, the newspaper, the firecracker. This should have sparked this shit 20 years ago.
Yep.
But no. And guess what? Guess what, though, guys? And I'm going to leave it at this because I'm getting a stomachache. But guess what? I'll give them a 10-year alibi off because social media wasn't as explosive as it is now. And people didn't have all these voices as they do now. So I'll give them a 10-year alibi of the shit they missed. But how much did they miss over the last 10, 12, 15 years? Oh, boy. Yeah. Hello. Howard Chandler say it, miss me with that nonsense.
Exactly, dude. I mean, it's just fucking insane. You understand? It really is. I mean, I don't want to even, and this may be offensive to women and whatnot, but I don't give a shit. Yo, I don't want to hear you motherfuckers talk any type of bullshit since you swung and missed on this one. I can't take you serious. That sounds harsh. But guess what? It is what it is. Because the time is showing proof you would have been did that. You should have been did that. And guess what? You took a swung, and strike three, your ass struck out on this one. So I have no sympathy. I'm sorry. I just don't. Because if we doing that picking and choosing shit, oh, man, listen. Knock it off. I am
I would almost accept if they swang and missed.
But they didn't even
attempt.
They didn't even get out the dugout.
Word.
So that's the hardest. That's the harshest part of that. Swinging and missing is a good thing, R, because that means you put your best foot. You put your best foot forward.
True.
But you didn't get out the dugout.
You didn't
even put Pine Tar on the bat.
No.
No. You really don't get an alibi.
Right. Horrible. Right.
Right. We got another caller with their hand up. I'm going to bring them in. We are talking about Tariq Hill, Kansas City Chief wide receiver, and his domestic child abuse situation. Last four digits, 5651. Welcome to In the Paint. State your name, where you calling from?
Chandler Rochester.
What's up,
hey,
brother?
Hey, Chandler. How you doing?
What's up? All
right. Brother man. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I was reading, so I kind of just now coming in, so I hadn't heard anything. It is when you're reading a book, I kind of got lost. The Tariq Hill thing for me is interesting because you got so many people who want to jump up and down like, oh, he's vindicated because they're not going to suspend him and nobody's going to charge him or anything. A kid still got hurt last I checked. Am I correct in that?
The child would have broken off.
And someone broke the kid's arm. Okay?
Right, right.
One of the two adults broke the kid's arm. Now, maybe it's me, but, you know, I've never, ever been accused of abusing a child or a woman. Been in a lot
right.
of relationships. Most of the time with women who had kids.
Right.
I've never been accused of domestic violence. Never been accused of abusing a child. Pretty sure you haven't
right.
either. Pretty sure
mm-hmm.
R hasn't either. Pretty sure Dominic
right.
hasn't either. So this hue and cry like, oh, see, you know what? You don't keep getting accused of things unless you're actually doing them.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
you don't keep
right.
getting accused of being a thief unless things just keep coming up missing when you're around.
Exactly.
It's funny how that works, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I know a whole lot of people who have kids, been in bad relationships, everything else, have never, ever, nobody's ever said, hey, that guy hits women. I know a whole lot
right.
of people,
right.
I mean, it's a bad relationship, okay? And a lot of people, you know, with kids. So
right.
the fact that all of this keeps happening to Tariq Hill, the fact that his name keeps coming up with things in these situations should say something. So the fact that they feel like that the police said there's not enough evidence to prosecute, which is really what they said. They said they can't find any proof
right.
of who did it. And so the NFL took their cue and was like, oh, well, we don't have to do anything this time. Because we all know the NFL really gives a damn about domestic violence because they really don't, but that's a whole other conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody that wants to run around, in my opinion, and trumpet this like this is some vindication of Tariq Hill, I don't see that. Tariq Hill should have been suspended just for GP.
Right.
Because once
right.
again, you find yourself in a situation that you should not be in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you can say all you want. Well, now we heard the full audio. At the end of the day, in that audio, he threatened her.
Yep.
Let me say this again.
That. Yep.
I've been in a lot of relationships, some good, some bad. I've never threatened a woman. Never.
Right.
Okay? And I'm not the nicest fucking guy. And I've never threatened a woman. So, at the end of the day, where's the vindication for this dude? So, for all, you know,
right.
and I, you know, like, I haven't really been on Twitter because I'm going through some other shit and everything else. But even before this, there was people trying to justify, oh, and you don't know the whole story. I don't need to know the whole story. Here's the whole story.
Right.
Your name
right.
keeps coming up in association with assault of women and now a child. Your name has come up multiple times in associated with an assault on a woman. That's all I need to know about you.
Right.
There is no vindication for me at that
right.
point.
And that
okay.
audio is damning.
Yeah. You can listen to the whole thing, and if you want to spin it maybe she's making it. Okay. Maybe. Okay. All right. Then that says to me you just want to find a reason to not believe again. And it's just too much of that. It's too much of, well, why should we believe? Why should we believe?
Right.
Why shouldn't you? This is
right.
not, you know, very few women are going to lie about certain
right.
things. And that people like to
right.
make it sound like, oh, this is some common occurrence. Let me tell you something. Victims of domestic violence don't make that shit up.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
now,
right.
there are some people out there who are I can't think of the word, but who are terrible enough human beings to try to take people down and say, well, I'm going to say this and I'm going to say that. Who was it? Tyrann Mathieu, right? There was somebody that was trying to blackmail him or whatever.
Family member.
It was a family member, right? But that's few and far between. You know what I'm saying? Those cases are very few and far between. 98% of the time, the victim should be believed. But there's this rush to try to not believe them. And it's, well, how come nobody ever says anything? Because you could call them fucking liars.
Right.
But you know what?
Right.
The NFL, once again, has shown that they don't give a damn about women. And I still don't, and I still go back to what we talked about a long time ago, is I don't see how certain segments of the population can still support this league when this league has made it obvious that they don't give a shit about nothing but your money.
Mm-hmm. Well said, well said. Just like recently I had an exchange, well, two times I've had an exchange with somebody, and they just picked the wrong argument because they really want to disagree with me. But, you know, with the lady cop in New York City who accused officers of raping her, guy was like, "Oh, you really believe that? Yeah, I'm gonna believe her." And then, you know, I'm not a fan of Wendy Williams, but you know, people talk. Was the dude's response on Wendy Williams about her husband abusing her. And we got to stop with that. You know, like you were saying, Chandler, he's in too many situations. The audio is damning. And the NFL only cares about money.
Right.
You know? We gotta stop not believing people. Because I hear a lot of men say, well, you know, women lie and da-da-da-da. You know, victims don't always talk, man.
Right.
They internalize that, and they don't always go and tell when something bad has happened.
Well, you know why, right? You know why?
Why?
Because they're not going to be believed.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
They feel they're not gonna be believed. That's why.
Right.
You have those situations like that.
You know what else hurts their cause though, are to say this. How many times have we heard the woman back out? And we discussed this before about the money train. And there goes my money.
True.
So now, you know, I ain't gonna say rightfully so, but now, like in this case, Chandler spelled it out. There's audio. There's a broken arm. Somebody called the cops.
Right.
Some cop came to the house. Some investigation ensued. So there's crumbs on the floor.
Okay.
Now, does she have enough in her to just stand up and say, yes, he did this? Who called the cops? Who called the cops? How did all of this shit start? Did he call the cops on himself? You know, where's all of this? Where's all this evidence? You know, but again, guys, I am not by no means. I will throw every woman under the bus that is turning a blind eye on this. Don't get it twisted. I ain't taking back what I said. But sometimes it's the victim that throws herself under the bus. But then again, here I go with all these movements. Why isn't somebody there putting an arm around her and saying, hey, don't be afraid to tell the truth. Everything's going to be all right. We got your back.
Right.
You don't see that, man. You just don't see it when it comes to the NFL. None of that. So it's a double-edged sword. And like y'all plainly said, if this was his first incident, I still wouldn't have gave him an alibi because there's too many crumbs on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy has a behavior of this. You know what they say, man? The last person to recognize they're an alcoholic is the alcoholic.
Right.
You know, I don't have a problem. I just drink on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. I don't have a drinking problem.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So until somebody gets off their high, gets on their high horse like they do for every other topic in this country.
Yes.
This is going to keep happening.
Right.
And it's ironic that we spoke about this not even 2 months ago. It was so funny, and I got so pissed off the first time. I forgot who we were even talking about. but you'll give Ezekiel Elliott, you'll put him up in front of a grand jury for getting drunk and acting stupid. Last time
right.
I checked, drinking
and
was legal.
Him and suspend
yeah.
him, even
yeah.
though
last time
he
I
is
checked,
a moron.
Right, but last time I checked, alcohol was legal.
Right.
You know, he might have acted a little foolish, but it's legal. Nobody got hurt.
Right.
Nobody got a broken arm. You know, nobody got a bottle cracked over their head. It wasn't, you know, like a Basketball Wives of Atlanta. You know, he got drunk. He acted stupid. And they still went after him, though. That's what I mean.
Right.
They went after him like he
and they keep
a
going
bank.
After him.
Exactly. I mean, come on. But this yep. guy who Chandler spelled out has a history of this. Okay. But you know what? Like I said, R., I keep saying I'm going to let it go after this, but I am. They always have that leg. They always have that leg to stand on, especially in
right.
this case. Well, there wasn't enough
right.
evidence. We got to move on.
Mm. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
And that's
sure. Sure.
That's part of the problem. I mean, I grew up in a house full of violence, and trust me, I heard that my entire childhood of the cops coming and saying, well, you know, if y'all don't want to put a press charge, okay, but. A lot of times, where's this woman with kids supposed to go? Where's she supposed to go? There's no shelters, you know.
Right.
There's no place for her to go. You know how many times women try to leave and wind up getting killed because
yeah.
nobody enforce. No, the cops aren't willing to enforce the restraining orders.
Right.
The restraining orders not.
Right.
Oh, he's stalking.
He
okay. Well, what are we supposed to do about it? Because he's following you. So there's so much more that goes into it when these women try to leave the abusers. And with some of them, listen, with some of them, they don't believe that they deserve any better.
Right.
And if
right.
you don't believe that you deserve to be treated properly,
right,
then you're going to continue to accept and make excuses for the person that's against, you know, just look at somebody you know, because we all know somebody that's in a terrible relationship with somebody that's using them. They don't even have to be abusing them, just using them. And
right.
you're like, why are you staying with that person? What is wrong with
mm-hmm.
you? Because they don't believe they deserve any better. Now, you
right.
take that to the next level of someone that's being abused. And then you add in the fact that people are saying, well, I don't believe you. Or a lot of times when they decide to recant, it's always because of money. No, it's because they don't think they got anywhere else to go. And it's the kind of the devil you know. Well,
right.
he'll do better next time. They won't hurt me the next time. But then the kids are growing up seeing how the female children are growing up seeing that they have no value because they're seeing mom accepting this. The boys are being taught to devalue women because they're
right.
seeing how dad is treating or this guy is treating their mother. And
right.
so the cycle just continues on. And the cycle continues. And then you have, and again, and there's nowhere for people to go. There's not enough help. There's not enough
right.
help. You know, and that's the thing that makes it the worst. And then, like Dominic said, but yeah, but let's go ahead and keep talking about damn Ezekiel Elliott getting drunk at Coachella.
And like you were saying, Chandler, I used to date someone, and it didn't work out right. Partly my fault. I'll say I take a lot of blame in it. Partly my fault, but that person also said I never expect anything good to happen for me. And you know that hit home for me. I was like, wow, really? And like you said, there are people like that, and the cycle continues. And they like you said, they feel the devil that they know is who they're gonna rock with, because they have nowhere else to go and nothing else.
You know what, guys? For a large portion of my life, I never believed in generational curses. You know, because I grew up like Chandler, watching you know, domestic violence, and I said, well, I'm not going to do that. And you know, I ended up not doing it. Raised two kids,
right.
been married 30-something years. I didn't do it. So I kind of never really looked into like a generational curse. Until
right.
I started seeing them right before my eyes, basically in my own family, where
right.
it started here And you know what? I know what people will say. Well, you know, when you get to a certain, even the Bible says, when you was a child, you spoke as a child. When you're an adult, you speak as an adult. Well, that's great. I'm not troubleshooting the Bible. But I firmly believe, guys, and this only happened to me maybe 10 years ago, where I actually started buying into that generational curse. Because guess what? When you see it, you absorbed it, you've seen nothing happen.
Right.
So in somewhere in the back of your warped mind, you're thinking, it ain't that bad. You know, they did it.
Mm-hmm.
I lived my whole life watching this. Nobody died. Nobody went to jail. And then you end up doing it. And the cycle just continues and continues. And that's really the scary part. Because guess what? Now this guy is in that. You know, is his kid going to grow up seeing this? How's his kid going to be when they become an adult? You know, I know it works. It works. It works the opposite way too, guys. I'm a living testament of it. But there are far too many other cases where that generational curse really rears its ugly head.
And this is where the leagues, if they were really serious, could step in. Yeah, okay, you don't want to suspend him without pay? Suspend him with pay. And make sure that there's counseling going on. Make sure that there's monitoring going on. You understand what I'm saying? So that you can break the cycle. But no, let's just put him on the field because that's what's more important. Yeah,
exactly.
They're not going to do anything. He's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Just a kid with a broken arm. We don't know who broke his arm is now, but what the hell? You know, he's fine.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
Well said, guys. Well said. Oh, I know you wanted to move on to John Elway.
Yes.
We're going to stay in the NFL lane. Go ahead, brother. Floor is yours.
Oh, boy. You know, I am so guilty of the following. And out of my guilt, maybe because I'm not a Denver Bronco fan like that, so I don't really pay attention to them. Perhaps that's what it is, my ignorance on that. However, put my attention on a post in our Facebook group, which is called The Real in Sports Talk in the Paint, by the way. Join.
That's right.
You know, and I quote, if Denver Bronco GM John Elway were black, he'd have been fired years ago. That caught my attention because the funny thing is, believe it or not, we were kind of struggling for topics today, for tonight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I saw that, and I said, oh, this is something I got to get in touch with Max 611. We got to get into this. And I'm reading the article, and they make some excellent points on this. And I, like I said, it was my ignorance to not checking what Denver's doing and what this guy's been doing or not been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, John Elway should have been fired years ago, but he's not because one, he has ties to the three championships that Denver has won. Okay,
right.
Twice as a quarterback, once as a GM. You understand?
Right.
So he's seen, like, it's like he can never lose his job. Never. You understand? There's been people in the press, like, around, you know, his local press, that have been fired, okay, when they have pointed out stuff about him. They've been fired or their status has been lowered, what may have you. Last two seasons, back-to-back, double-digit in losses. Which hasn't happened since the 60s. I think from 62 or 63 to like 67. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And as a premier quarterback, you would think that you would have a handle on getting a quarterback, a franchise quarterback. How many have we seen pass through the revolving doors in recent years? Trevor Simeon, Brock Osweiler. What's this guy's name?
Paxton Lynch.
Paxton Lynch, thank you very much. You know, and it goes on and on and on and on.
And all of them are ill.
Exactly. But you would figure, as a premier quarterback in his heyday, that he would have a handle on at least that. At least that. He is severely lacking. Lacking. Okay, his draft picks have been horrible. Outside of what's that boy's name? Von Miller. Outside of that, they've been horrible. Okay? With a track record like that, you would figure this guy can hit the bricks. But as we know, that's just not the case. That's
you
just
know what?
Not the case.
Noah, I got
yeah.
two people who are the exception in that they've had a long leash.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, as a black GM and one as a coach.
Okay.
Jerry Reese with the Giants and and Tomlinson in Pittsburgh. But in Elway's case, the last 3 years have not been good.
No kidding.
9-7, 5-11, 6-10.
Mm-hmm.
And they won the Super Bowl in 2015.
Right.
He still hasn't. And the only reason they won the Super Bowl is because of that defense.
Right.
He hasn't provided them with a franchise quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Also, he's on his fourth head coach. Fourth.
Right.
See, the problem with using Elway's example is one, it's lazy, and two, it's a straw man.
Right.
You can't use Elway and say, well, if he was black, because, you know, if he was black, his name would still be John Elway. Okay, so if he was a black John Elway, he'd still have a job. Why? Because he is the most revered and loved player in Broncos history.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
I agree with
John
you.
Elway can do no wrong when it comes to the Denver Broncos organization.
Apparently,
now,
right.
I'm telling you. Okay, first of all, Pat Bowlen, who's owned their franchise since his inception, loved him to death. So Pat Bowlen was never going to fire John. John Elway would never have been fired, okay, unless they basically lost. Now, keep in mind, not only did he win Super Bowls for them as a player, he won one as what? A coach, as a general manager, right?
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
So the three, I think they got three. The three Super Bowls they have are a direct result to John Elway, okay?
Right.
Direct result. So, yeah, his leash is going to be really, really long. Has he done a bad job? Absolutely he has.
Right.
Absolutely he has.
Right.
But he won them three Super Bowls. That matters to that organization and to that area. Okay?
Right.
So Elway is the wrong guy to use that argument with, because why do you think Jerry Reese got such a long leash? Because they won Super Bowls while he was part of that management team.
Right.
Okay? So that argument, now coaching is a very different thing. I have a problem with, like, Vance Joseph would not have been fired had he been white, but that's a different conversation.
Okay.
Because you keep seeing the white coaches get recycled and recycled, whereas black coaches don't get recycled. So that's a whole different conversation.
Okay.
But when you're talking Elway specifically, if you're just talking Elway specifically, I don't give a damn what color John Elway is. He got them three championships. So his leash is going to be long as hell. Okay? Think about the fact that he drafted Drew Locke, who was trash at Missouri. Drew Locke was trash. Okay,
right.
You got really people trying to. Well, he ran a pro offense, and you know in Missouri, and he faced some tough competition. Missouri is garbage in the SEC. They're garbage. Okay, the team is garbage. All right, but Drew Locke now supposedly the heir to the throne. Drew Locke went in the second round. Drew Locke ain't damn good. He's not good. Okay, but what's the spin now? What's the spin now? Well, you know, Flacco's just a placeholder. Because why? Because Elway's going to keep getting a pass from that organization because he won them three championships until a new owner comes in. As long as that team is owned by the Bowlen family, which I think the daughter is running it now, I think.
Yeah.
But somebody named Bowlen is running that franchise. As long as somebody named Bowlen is running that franchise, John Elway's going to have a job. Okay?
Jesus.
And again, it wouldn't matter what color he was because he got them three Super Bowls. Bronco fans aren't even mad at John Elway. All right? Ask Bronco fans. They're criticizing everybody but John Elway.
And you know what? You know what, John? I get what you're saying. But to me, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Because this man is not doing his job. It's ridiculous. I get what you're saying. Trust me. I'm not respecting you or nothing like that. I do agree. But I'm just saying, in that whole concept, it's ridiculous. When is enough going to be enough?
Never.
Apparently. Jesus Christ. I'm just saying, is it something seriously demented with that?
That you have to take into account. You have to look at, sometimes you have to look at the franchise and the fan bases. You have to take, for instance, Cleveland Browns fans, right? Cleveland Browns have been terrible forever. They still pack that stadium, right?
Right, yes.
No matter who owns the team, right? The Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills ain't been good in forever. They still pack that stadium. And they will root for that damn team, and they will fight to the death. They're like, dude, your team won 2 games. I don't care. I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. Okay. There are some fan bases where you have to take into account the ownership and the fan base and just understand that they're just going to do things a little differently. And if there's certain players that can do no wrong in their eyes, no matter what that player does.
Wow.
All you got to do is look at the New York Giants. Look at the New York Giants fans. New York Giants fans love Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor slept with children.
Mm-mm.
Okay? Yep. Let's be clear. Lawrence Taylor's a pedophile. Let's be very clear on that. Slept with children.
Mm.
Ask a Giant, say something bad about Lawrence Taylor to a Giant fan. I don't care how old they are. You'll have a 90-year-old Giant fan jumping up trying to fight you.
He's right.
Max, you had me until you brought up coaches. I'm not going to play the race card, but you had me until you brought up a coach. Because I don't think I've ever seen a coach in NFL history have a longer leash than Marvin Lewis.
Oh, yeah, Marvin, too. I forgot about Marvin.
You forgot him.
Right.
15 years.
How could I forget? How could I forget about Marvin?
Not nail one playoff win. But right. Chandler brings up a great point about Elway without using the coach.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
But, I mean, first of all, it's an NFL mentality. Let's not skip over that. NFL fans aren't the brightest bulbs in the shed, but anyway, when you take that into consideration, an area like Colorado, keep the race thing out of it. What do they have in Colorado? The Denver Nuggets have slowly, surely gotten better. Colorado Rockies, they probably hit their ceiling. All they have to rest their hats on are the Denver Broncos because they at least have 3 Super Bowls. There's plenty of GMs out there, plenty of coaches out there. Marvin Lewis, 15 years, 0-0 forever in the playoffs. Had good quarterbacks, had pretty decent teams who at least get one win. No, didn't get nothing. But at least he's got 3 Super Bowl rings to show for it. And I even take the last one they got. Even with their great defense, Cam Newton had a very bad day. Let's just be real. I mean, I think that was the year Cam won the MVP, didn't he? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. That's the year Cam Newton won the MVP. He had a very bad game. Their offensive line had a very bad game. It ain't like Denver ran up the scoreboard.
Right.
That wasn't no 40-3 win. So I'll even give them that, though, because they won. I'll give them that because they won. They won the game, so all my Cam Newton garbage goes out the window. They still won the game. So they have 3 Super Bowls. They have 3 Super Bowls under their belt, and there's one common denominator in all 3 of those Super Bowls. John Elway.
Right. Yeah.
You know, if they'd have had Elway, another quarterback that won, and then another GM that was the president or whatever that won the third one, it would be topsy-turvy. But they only got one thing to rest their head on, and that's John Elway. I mean, again, Chandler brings up another good point, getting off the coach thing. There's people in New York that still think, you know, Eli Manning is Johnny Unitas. Again, go back to that NFL mentality. It's bizarre. First of all, I'm not a big NFL fan to begin with. Thank God I'm not. But it's something with that NFL water that is just hard to – but, again, in Elway's case, 3 Super Bowls, and he had a nickel in all 3 of those dimes. So, I don't know. I don't buy it. I don't buy the analogy.
I'm disturbed. I'm sorry. I'm just disturbed. I'm disturbed, and I'm going to be on record for being disturbed. I don't care. That's just what it is. And I may come off kind of, you know, listen, I may be ignorant right now. I get it. But I'm just saying, I find it just ridiculous. Ridiculous. I get it, but I still can't get away from the ridiculousness of it
all. He's revered. He's revered.
I don't care. I don't care. They're going to be stuck in mediocrity for how long this guy's on the job. Yeah, fuck it. That's just what it is.
The one thing I can say, though, R, the one thing I can say, R, that's really baffling to me, is how the hell could he never get a quarterback? That shit, I don't care about the wins and losses, the black and white.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, damn, John Elway was like the guy. I mean, I'm pretty sure John Elway could have played on any team and still been John Elway. But you can't. Man, that would be like Sandy Koufax don't know a good pitcher if he saw one. That part I can't understand. Right.
Holy Christ.
I can't get that one. I can't unwrap my head around that.
Oh, and you see him saying, yo, Anthony Young is the truth. Anthony Young is the truth.
Can I ask y'all a question?
Sure.
Who was their quarterback when they won that Super Bowl?
Peyton Manning.
Wasn't it? Yeah, it was
800-year-old Peyton Manning.
Yep. Peyton Manning, yeah. See, I always took us a minute to remember that.
Yeah.
And he didn't do jack in that Super Bowl.
And he was trash.
He didn't do jack
Bowl,
that
exactly.
season. He was a shell.
Exactly.
Oh, God, that was weird.
It took us a minute
to come up with that answer, though.
Yeah, no doubt.
God.
I'm telling you. Like I said, I'm just really just dumbfounded. I'm sorry. You know? But I
have the right to rant.
I get it.
It's not that Elway's done a terrible job, and I totally agree with you. But to say if he was black, he'd be fired, that, to me, that's where that's where you lose me because, again, if his name was still John Elway and he were black, we would still be having the same conversation. Yo, how the hell this dude ain't been able to get a quarterback? Why does he still have a job? You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Because we're speaking about – now, if his name was Joe Smith and he had won a damn thing, you're right, and he's had this job all this time and there's no Super Bowls, okay, let's have the conversation. But you know what I'm saying? He's the wrong guy to use. I'm saying for that particular analogy, he was just – they just used the wrong guy. Okay.
Okay.
Who would
you use, Chandler, in this scenario if you were to use a GM currently in the NFL?
I wouldn't because there's not one that's been somewhere a long time that's been terrible.
Right.
I would talk about the recycling of the same old white guys. I'd talk about the recycling of them. Okay. I talk about the fact that Jerry Reese, you might not listen. Giant fans might not love Jerry Reese, but Jerry Reese should have got an interview for somebody's damn job. Okay? Because Jerry Reese did help bring a Super Bowl to New York Giants. Jerry Reese did for a little while. Yeah, yes, I'm saying, because listen, if Dave Gettleman can get another damn job, then Jerry Reese should be able to get another damn job. Okay?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So that's where I have the problem with the black and white is that black executives, black coaches, they don't get the second chance that a white coach or white executive is going to get.
Right.
And that's you can just look around the league at the recycled coaches that are still being going on. Yeah, Marvin Lewis was the outlier in that. And that was because the owner loved him. Okay. He was on a team where their fans were content with them just making the playoffs. As long as they were able to make the playoffs.
Which they did a lot of years.
Right, and the fans were good with that, along with the fact that Marvin Lewis was always the lowest paid coach. By the way, he was always the lowest paid head coach. His assistants were always the lowest paid assistants, okay, which was why the team kept him on, because Marvin never asked for a lot of money. Listen, I have a huge problem with Marvin. I got a lot of problems with Marvin Lewis, okay? But Marvin Lewis, I got a lot of problems with Marvin Lewis. Well, Marvin Lewis was an outlier, okay, because I look at the Vance Joseph and, well, how the hell you only going to give Vance Joseph, you never even gave him a quarterback. But then you got him up out of there. If you look at what happened with Steve Wilkes in Arizona, you gave him one season, but then you went and got Cliff Kingsbury, who is the best quarterback in Texas Tech history. And they were like, listen, Cliff, you got to go. Okay? Now, you guys know how college teams are about quarterbacks that have won for them. They don't – listen, they stay as long as they want. They were like, Cliff, you have to go. We need you to leave now. And the only job you could get in college was offensive coordinator, and you fired a coach after one season to go hire this dude who the best job he could get was an offensive coordinator at USC, which is absolute trash right now. And Steve Wilks didn't get a sniff as a head coach again.
Right.
But every time I turn around, Josh McDaniels is getting interviews. Josh McDaniels is still getting damn interviews.
Lovie Smith ain't getting the interview.
Huh?
Lovie Smith, he deserves a job.
Right. Jim Caldwell deserved to have an interview. So if you want to have the conversation is going to be had about the recycling of the white coaches and black coaches not getting a chance, we can have that conversation because I just gave you multiple examples. Mm-hmm. But to say John Elway wouldn't have a job if he was black, honestly, is bullshit because John Elway would still be John Elway and still have three championships, and the Denver Broncos, the Bowling family, would still be genuflecting at his feet like, John, you got a three championships. You're the baddest man alive. And remember that weed is legal in Colorado. So they're all just sitting up there high as hell like, yeah, we love us some John Elway, man. Pass that shit around.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Well said. Well said.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm still pissed off. I'm sorry.
We're
going to
move on, Mr. Pissed Off.
Yeah, I'm pissed off. I don't give a fuck.
Newt is... Our relief pitcher on the New York Yankees, is Aroldis Chapman going to opt out? And should he opt out? Would it be beneficial for him to opt out? Would he come back to the Yankees? What do y'all think, fellas?
More money. Probably if it was more money, offered, if he did. Because other guys are getting paid, you know. I think the guy for the Cleveland from the Dodgers is getting, like, what, $18, $19 million a year? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Chapman is, what, at 15? You know?
Yeah, he's at 15.
Yeah, 15. So it's probably, even though that story broke, he denies it, you know, but, you know, we always hear, oh, it's not about the money, but, you know, usually about the money. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I can't really speculate. I'll speculate and say that he does opt out, even though he's denying it. And he's going to be looking to get paid. Now, whether he deserves that money like that, let's see.
I think he's opting out. I think the Yankees want him to opt out. I think the Yankees are the ones that leaked that information.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I think they're the ones that leaked that information. Because this isn't the first time that where a guy was had an option and suddenly a year or two early, all of a sudden, people talking about the option. And I think the Yankees, because they can attach draft pick compensation after next year. They can trade him after next season.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's, okay, maybe you should opt out. Because I think the Yankees want him to opt out, honestly. Because he's not the same role as Chapman. Let's be honest. He's not the same guy. And he hasn't been since Joe Maddon abused him in those playoffs. He hasn't been the same guy. It's taking him longer and longer into the season to really stay sharp, to get sharp and stay there. Everybody's throwing 100 now. So when it used to be Aroldis was the only lefty throwing 100, everybody's throwing 100 now. What else you got, Aroldis? His changeup isn't that great. His slider, because he's neglected it for so many years, isn't that great. He's 31, 32, I think. You really think the Yankees want him to finish out this contract and be paying $15 million a year to a 33, 34-year-old closer? You really think that?
Right.
So, I honestly, when I saw this story, my first thought was the Yankees leaked this because they want him to opt out. That was my first thought. Was that they leaked it. It was the same thing as what Randy Levine did to Dellin Betances in arbitration, and that screwed Dellin Betances up damn near for a full season, which justified Dellin Betances not being – and then Dellin Betances had a bad season. Like, see, that's why you didn't get the money in arbitration. Look at him.
Mm.
I honestly think that this is the Yankees. I'm going to say Randy Levine. I think this is Randy Levine's doing. Again, because, you know, it would make more sense for them, for him to opt out, then the Yankees don't have to make a call and try to trade him or anything else. They don't have to worry about the draft pick compensation and him staying, because closers are not valued the same way anymore. Listen, Craig Kimbrel is still a top-notch closer. How long did it take somebody to sign him?
Right.
And he didn't get near the money he was looking for. Near the money he was looking for. Okay, he was looking at he wanted $20 million a year. I know he didn't get that. He didn't get that. I think he got 13 or 14 maybe from the Cubs. Chapman ain't getting $15 million. Trust me, if he opts out, he ain't getting $15 million. But somebody, not for no multiple years. Somebody might give him that for one season.
Right.
But I think this is the first salvo in the Yankees asking him to opt out and maybe renegotiate so they can get him at a lower salary. Or if not, they'll let him walk. But I honestly think that, he's going to be gone when that option comes up.
He's going to be, I just looked it up, he'll be 32 years old next year in spring training. Right now, he's making $17.5 million. Each year, his save totals have gone down. Now, some have been due to injuries and the Yankees actually blowing a lot of teams out. But all that being said, I look at the makeup of the Yankees. They could afford to lose Chapman more than Chapman could afford walking away. Because the Yankees have so many arms in that bullpen. And remember, guys, it was only last year that we went and got Britton from the Orioles, who was a closer.
Right.
So I don't know, and I'm not saying this in a bad way. I love Chapman. Right now, he's still a Yankee, so he's on my team. But I think his chips may not be as stacked as high as he thinks he is. And he should actually know, because he's in the Yankee bullpen. So he sees the guys that could easily step up and fill that role. And matter of fact, one of them probably sits right next to him in Britton. So the Yankees are in, and I hate to say this because they're the Yankees, but they put themselves in a position where if Chapman does walk,
they're good.
You know, they'll just keep rolling along because they're set up that way. And then again, guys, baseball has changed. It really has. There are teams with such deep bullpens, one being the damn Yankees, but there's teams that have such deep bullpens. There's teams that don't even have starters no more. They call them openers. And then they just run a litany of relief pitchers in the game. So the game has changed, too. And, again, with the way the Yankees are, the makeup of the Yankees is, it's not going to be a lot of times that you're going to be needing somebody to come and hold a one-run lead. I'm not going to say it don't happen. Their makeup is not made that way. When they win, they normally win big. So they're up by 3-4 runs in the ninth inning. So anybody that comes in, is not going to get a save. And if it don't work out, you're still up 2. We bring in another relief pitcher. So I just think his chips aren't bad. I hate to see him walk, but, hey, guys, I'm a Yankee fan, and I see what we're doing. And this will keep rolling right along without him. I feel bad, but, hey. But Chandler's right. That year with the Cubs really, really put a hurting on him. And you know what? That's really a sad situation because we gave up Chapman, got Gleyber Torres, got Chapman back. Now Chapman might leave, but we stole Britton from the Orioles. I mean, it's like a head spinner. So at the end of the day, the Yankees still won. They didn't win that World Series, but they still won the war. Wow.
Well said. Well said. Do you have anything to add, or?
No. Actually, no.
Okay. Okay.
No, sir.
He's still pissed off about
Elway.
That's right. I'm still pissed off. That's right.
He's simmering.
I am hot right now, but go ahead.
He's simmering. I agree with what Chandler and Dominic said. I wouldn't want him to go, but again, the Yankees are set up the way they are set up so that they could afford to let him leave if they don't want to give him say, a long-term deal or amount of money deal. He can walk. And, yeah, they overused him in Chicago. And he's 32. He's going to be 32. How long a contract do you give a 32-year-old reliever who has some mileage on him?
Mm-hmm.
How many years, how much money do you give him?
Not too many, obviously.
Nope. Right. Right. let's move on to some boxing.
Uh-oh.
Tomorrow, 40-year-old Manny Pacquiao.
My man.
Versus Keith, one-time Thurman, who's 30 years old.
Knock that bum out, Manny.
Oh, you call him one-time a bum?
That's what I said.
Go ahead, R. You have the floor, sir.
Matter of fact,
simmering.
I'm going to put it right
now. I hear the heat.
Yeah, you already know.
I feel
I'm going to put some money up. Anybody want to take me up on a bet? Huh?
Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because Manny Pacquiao ain't knocking nobody out.
Manny is going to kill this dude. Okay? You heard it here first. Manny's going to kill him. I can't even believe I'm saying that. But anyway, no, you know what? I really am. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to pick Manny in upset. I'm going with upset pick. I really am. I'm just going for this for a shock factor, to be perfectly honest. I got to tell you, I got to be honest with you guys. Hold on, Mac. I got to be honest with you guys. I really haven't been impressed with Thurman. I'm sorry. I just don't see it. I don't see it. You understand? So, I think he's a good boxer, but I just don't think he's all that. I'm sorry. I really don't see it. You know? And maybe that's a lack in my view of him as a boxer, but I just don't see it. You know? Can he get past the guys like Sean Porter and Adrian Brown? Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. You know what I'm saying? But even Manny Pacquiao at 40 years old, yeah, I think Manny looks good.
Right.
I really do. I think he looks good. He doesn't seem to be in terrible shape. You understand? I know boxing's a young man's game. I think he has it in him for this one fight. I really believe that. I really think he has it. And
Dominic dropped.
Oh, he did? Oh,
and he can't call back in. Because
it's past the time, right. Again, bro, I just think that I just think Pacquiao can beat him. I really do.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
And if he does, that's not gonna be a great look on Keith Thurman. I can say that right now. So we'll see tomorrow night.
Chandler?
Okay, first of all, he's coming off of a fight where he beat Adrian Broner.
Okay.
Yeah. Miss me with that, because Adrian Broner's a clown.
For sure.
And
I agree.
And we all know Adrian Broner has spent his entire career wasting his talent.
For sure.
So
that's
not much of a tune-up. Now, I'm not a huge fan of Keith Thurman because he's ducking, and I cannot think of the guy. Y'all know who I'm talking about. There you go. Because he's ducking Errol Spence.
Yes.
Because I think Errol Spence could beat Keith Thurman. Right?
For sure.
Right.
I think he'll mock Keith Thurman.
For sure.
But Thurman is better than Pacquiao. You know what I'm saying? Manny, listen, man. You're 40 years old. And at 40 years old, your reflexes are not what they were. They're not.
Okay.
And Thurman is a good fighter. Now, again, I like Errol Spence more than Thurman, but Thurman is... You know, you can put him up at the top of that up at the top of that division and say, yeah, he's one of the top guys in the division. Manny Pacquiao is maybe 10th. When you start listing the guys in that division, you're starting with the guys that are top of the division. Manny Pacquiao's in the bottom 10. He's in the bottom.
Okay.
You're going to list the 10. He's in the bottom.
Okay.
Thurman's in the top four. Thurman's in the top four. So there's no way. Pacquiao's not going to be third. Now, Could it happen? Yes. If Thurman goes in there with no plan and takes him lightly, yes. But if Thurman actually trains for this fight, takes it seriously, I don't see how Pacquiao wins this fight. I don't see how he wins it unless, of course, now this boxing, so we all know how this goes.
For sure.
Now, I'm going to say this. I think Thurman is going to need to put a severe beat down on Manny to win a decision.
Right.
I'm going to say that. I think if it's a close fight, I think they're going to give it to Manny.
Right.
All
right. Right.
I agree with that. I was reading today, and they asked professionals, you know, some retired fighters, trainers, and other boxers, and it was almost 50-50.
Right.
This is a 50-50 fight. When I look at Manny's most recent fights, Adrian Broner, Lucas Matisse, and he struggled with Jeff Horn, and they gave it to Jeff Horn. I look at Thurman, and I look at his resume, and he only has Sean Porter and Danny Garcia.
Right.
In his last couple of fights, Josecito Lopez, and Luis Collazo, and Robert Guerrero.
Yeah.
And then it's a bunch of no names after that.
Right.
His resume is thin, and I like Thurman as a boxer.
And
Manny is in great shape. Manny has something to prove. I don't know what it is, but he has something to prove. Thurman
got something to prove.
Has something to prove. If he wants to get the bigger fights, he wants to fight Terrence Crawford, he wants to fight Errol Spence, because those are the top two guys in the welterweight division. He has to beat Manny. Now I'm gonna talk about their styles. For Thurman to beat Manny, he has to be a good counterpuncher against Manny. He has to. Manny really doesn't care about defense.
No.
Manny's a volume puncher. Manny does have quick hands. Thurman has to counterpunch him. He also has to use his size. He's the bigger man in this fight, and he's gotta try to fight Manny on the inside and not let Manny be a volume puncher. And Manny has to control the pace, which he does because he's a volume puncher and he constantly comes forward. Thurman's gonna have to box and not try to thump with Manny. That's how you got to beat him.
Where's the fight at?
In Vegas.
I mean, who's showing it? Who's showing it?
PBC,
yeah.
So it's going to be FS1 then. So it's going to be FS1.
Yes, sir.
It's a pay-per-view event, isn't it?
It's a pay-per-view.
I think it's pay-per-view.
I thought it was
pay-per-view.
I thought it was pay-per-view. It is pay-per-view.
Oh, it's pay-per-view?
FS1. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, I'm not watching that until the next day. I'm not paying for that. You know I'm not paying for that trash. I was hoping it was on something I could actually watch.
Right.
Stream it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm not doing that either. I'll just wait till the next day.
Damn, you don't want a free stream? Okay. Jesus Christ. No, but you know what? Well, what you just said, Mac, the boxing, that is the key for Thurman. If he see, I think that's where he starts up. I think that's where he slips up.
Right.
I honestly think that's where he's gonna slip up. He's gonna try to box him after a while, and it's gonna backfire on him.
I got to see Thurman live. He hits hard. I was there for the Danny Garcia fight, and he hits hard. If it has to be that Keith Thurman that comes in the fight. The one that beat Sean Porter and the one that beat Danny Garcia.
Would it be fair to say that his performance rises or falls with who he's fighting? Because it seems to me that when he fights the better fighters, he raises his level. When he fights guys
right.
that he should just walk over, it's not a good fight. And which actually says a lot about him, which actually makes me like him even less. But if that's the case, because, listen, if your performance goes up and down like that, you know what I'm saying, you can't tell me that you're a great fighter because you're inconsistent as hell.
Well, he's
but if that's the case, but you know what I'm saying. So if that's the case, then we should see the best of him. But again, like you said, if this fight is close, even if he wins it, it's a loss.
Right.
If this thing comes down to a split decision and they give him the split decision, it's still a loss in my book for him, even though it's not on his record, because, dude, you couldn't put away a 40-year-old?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And
he's not gonna be
Manny, and Manny struggled with a bum, Jeff Horn.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I'm telling you, I think he'll still he'll beat Thurman. I'm sorry. I don't like this guy. I'm sorry. I just don't think he's it. He's just not it. He's not it. He's not it. Keith Thurman is not it, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Your resume thin. Let's keep it real. Your resume isn't the greatest in the world. I'm not convinced, dude. I'm just not. It wouldn't be shocking to see Manny win this fight.
No,
it really wouldn't be.
It wouldn't shock me either, but I'm a pick Thurman.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a pick Thurman. But, I mean, honestly, how many guys named Keith do you know who actually can fight? I never met a dude named Keith that can fight. I'm just saying.
Stop it. Stop
Wow, look at that. That's funny. I'm sorry. That was a good one. That was a good one. I ain't gonna lie to you. I like that. You know?
Yo, I was reading, Manny is a superstar, yo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he got like 50 to 100 people in his entourage, you know, while training in his camp.
Okay.
He got people cutting his food into little strips, feeding it to him.
Wow.
Well, don't forget he's a senator.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, he's got the government entourage, he's got the boxing entourage. I mean, he's a god in the Philippines.
Right.
Right? So, yeah, and that's another reason why I'm like, at this stage of the game, you know, what's that old saying, what's that Teddy Atlas used to talk about the silk sheets? You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
once you start sleeping on silk sheets.
We call it the jacuzzi effect.
Oh, yeah.
Yo,
and I think that
was silk sheets a long time.
To Marvin Hagler. I think Marvin Hagler coined it.
Okay.
You know, the jacuzzi effect. He also said, hey, who wants to go road train when you got a jacuzzi?
Right.
I want Manny to retire soon because I don't want to see him laid out like he was laid out by Marquez.
He's
done everything, for me as a fan. I don't need to see you no more. You're 40, man. Move on. You're a promoter now. You're a senator. Live life. Enjoy the fruits.
Don't worry.
You
will
deserve
it. After this match, he will. You know what I'm saying? That's my hope. You go out on top. He's going to go out on top.
Right.
You know what
I think the worst thing that happened was Bernard Hopkins fought till he was like 50,000 years old.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
everybody's trying to be like B-Hop. B-Hop
right.
is an outlier,
right.
man. Everybody, you can't.
Yeah.
Everybody
he started
ain't gonna be Bernard Hopkins.
Yeah, he started late. He had a high for somebody to start boxing late and have a high acumen like he had because he was a brilliant boxer. And
right.
he fought till he stayed in phenomenal shape.
Yep, that too.
Yeah,
that too.
Manny's
Indeed.
In great shape. Manny,
yeah.
Come on now.
So
I don't know,
but he's 40.
Yeah,
right.
Keith, keep going back to that shit, damn you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Whatever. And? We know that. We know that. And?
Nope. Okay.
For what?
And? Listen, that's when I started falling when I was 40. I was like, I couldn't walk straight. I couldn't get out of bed right. Come on, man.
And we could train you. You'd look good against Adrian Broner.
Oh, I'd kill him. I don't even need to train for that fucker. You know what I'm saying? I don't even need to train for that clown. I get in the ring and just knock his ass out. Straight up. That's it.
Oh. Amir Khan is running around telling stories.
About what?
Oh, God.
He said he's supposed to fight Manny regardless of who wins. Either later this year or next year in Saudi Arabia. Manny people are like, what are you talking about?
Exactly. Yeah, that is
nobody
not
wants
even,
to fight
oh
Amir Khan. Nobody wants to see that damn fight.
Exactly. Exactly. You guys already know. Come on now. It's like
Amir Khan said
it.
They already signed stuff and
God, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it, liar.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't put it past Manny because I think Manny's in the money grab portion of his life. I think he's in who's going to give me a big check and I'll go fight. He's in that Roy Jones place where he's just fighting for a check now.
Right.
And that's why I think that's why Thurman should win at this stage of the game because Manny, I don't think Manny's fighting because that all that hunger and I can't give up. Manny's looking for big paydays now.
Yeah.
You know, and
well,
I don't, that never ends well. You know
remember,
what I'm saying?
Manny,
no, you're right.
Manny had a tax problem with the U.S. and a tax problem with his country. So.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
And he got a large entourage. Mm-hmm. 100 people, Manny.
A la MC Hammer. Right. Gotcha.
Yeah. Oh, and everybody got their hands in his pocket.
Exactly.
We ain't even got the family yet. We ain't even got to his family yet.
Right.
Ooh. Yeah.
Jesus.
Horrible. I think Manny's going to lose. I think Thurman
We'll see.
I think
he's
too big. And I think he's a better boxer right now than people give him credit for. And he needs to do this to establish, one, himself to get another bigger fight and to, establish his legacy, which is kind of thin.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to tell you this right now. Sunday, I will definitely, if it turns out that Manny wins, Sunday I'm going to get at y'all.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question, though. Wasn't Errol Spence supposed to fight Manny? Wasn't that the deal after Errol Spence's last fight he was going to fight Manny?
No. There was a lot of talk. I think he's supposed to fight Showtime, Sean Porter.
Okay, because I remember him going on Fox Sports 1 and talking about fighting Manny.
I think he wanted it.
Okay, and there in Dallas. Yeah, at the Cowboys Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Yep.
Let's move on. My favorite point guard, CP3.
Oh, God.
I call him Fat B3 with the bloated contract and the bloated waistline. Seems to be... his trade value is very diminished right now and looks like he might be in OKC for a minute. What are you guys' thoughts on what's going to happen with him? And will his trade value increase at some point?
Nope. Take the buyout. He's owed, I think, $170 million.
Something
he better
like that.
Walk in there. You better walk in there and say, yo, give me 120 and I'll go away. Ain't nobody taking him. You know, all the teams, everybody signed all their free agents. Everybody has spent all their money. You know.
Yep.
So he keeps going. He want to go to a contender. First of all, what contender needs a point guard right now?
Miami. That's the only team that's the only, well, you know, that's the only good team or team that can contend if they add him, you know, theoretically.
What happened to Philly?
Philly
is
good.
Yeah, what you was going to say.
Philly gave Ben Simmons $130 billion.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, true that.
Right. And they don't need him. Oh, Philly don't need him. OKC doesn't have a bad team. With Chris Paul and without Chris Paul, they got a decent team.
Yeah.
They can make the playoffs or fight for the playoffs with the team with Chris Paul. Teams can't trade. They can't trade newly signed free agents
until
December.
Right.
So some teams are gonna wait. So
CP3
is in limbo.
If you're Oklahoma City, you don't want Chris Paul even on the team because now you're stunting the growth of Alexander, the
right.
kid that you
and,
got from the
Clippers. And Schrader. Because
right.
he's still there.
Right. So if I'm Oklahoma City, I'm buying them out. The hell with trading them because Sam Presti wants to get all these draft picks. And, yeah, apparently we know Sam Presti can draft. He
right.
can't win with the players he drafts, but that's a whole different conversation because he can't hire a good damn coach. But
right.
how about you just buy him out and keep it moving?
Right. Right. Or
because
one of the teams, some teams want, he has, currently they got like 8 first round draft picks. Yo, give up one of them picks, son. I'll take Paul off your hands, but you got to give me one of them picks, man.
Yeah. They don't want to do that. You don't want to give up the picks. And not for nothing, Miami's not a championship contender. They're a contender for the playoffs. They ain't no championship contender with Chris Paul or without Chris Paul. They're not a championship contender. He's someone he wants to go to a championship contender. There's no championship contending team that needs a point guard. You can't go to L.A. because him and Rondo will be fighting in the locker room. Okay?
They already got beef.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So you can't go to the Lakers. You can't go to the Clippers. You can't go to Houston. You can't go to Golden State. You can't go to Denver. You can't go to Utah. Honestly, the
right.
only team he
can't
the only
go
team
to Toronto.
Fits,
can't
right.
go to Boston.
Right.
I can't go nowhere.
Yeah. The only team he fits on is Philly.
Right.
And they locked up at the point guard position with Ben Simmons. So.
Wow.
Unless they decide to trade Simmons. Now,
right.
unless they decide, but like I said, because they gave Simmons more money than they gave Embiid, and people ain't paying attention to that. They already have said which player that they're actually going to build around. It's Ben Simmons.
Well, no, they gave
so,
they gave him what they could.
Okay, but they still gave Simmons more.
Right. He got. They both got
right.
max deals, though, Chandler.
I get that, but Simmons still got more.
They didn't have to give due to the circumstances and the rules.
No, they didn't have to give him $170 million. They could have gave him less and still gave him an extension.
Yeah.
They could have gave him just. They could have gave him the same amount as Embiid.
They both
they chose to give him. Yes, they chose to give him the max. They didn't have to yet. My point is, they didn't have to yet. They did it early.
Well,
so
they locked him up early.
Okay, then that says to me that you've chosen who you're actually going to build around. It also says to me that they don't trust that Joel Embiid is going to stay healthy.
Hey, do you trust Joel Embiid?
Absolutely not.
He at Applebee's right now.
Now you're at the Golden Corral, man. Get it right. You're at Golden
exactly.
Corral.
Golden Corral, my
exactly.
bad. You sure it ain't an Outback?
Nah.
Could
be both. You never know.
They're going from one to the other.
Exactly.
He's Burger King buying him $1 tacos. Now he's Burger King buying him $1 tacos.
Horrible, horrible. You know, horrible. I'll tell you, that's funny.
He ain't getting no dollar rice?
Nah.
Listen, yo, listen, that jollof rice is good, bro. Don't listen. Don't be slandering the jollof rice now.
I know, because I know he is African.
Yeah. Man, when that rice is made right, man, listen. Man, you walk out, you slap shit out somebody.
I got it. Wow. If you ever come to the city, is a spot in Brooklyn we got to take you to. Your jollof rice is banging.
And you know what's crazy is every little region in Africa, they do it a little differently. So like you can eat like so many different variations of it. It's not even funny. Oh,
right.
There's vegetarian variations. There's some with meat. Oh, there's some with seafood.
See how we talking about Joel Embiid. We on culinary.
And look at that. Exactly. Just like he is. Listen, I got to break out. But you guys keep it going.
All right.
It's all good. I got to break out because, you know, I got an early day. So you already know what's up.
All right. I got to tend to this goddamn cough that won't go away.
Uh-oh. Well, like I said, man, I'll be bothering you guys on Sunday. That's the show.
All right. All right.
What's happening
all right.
Sunday?
When the results.
Oh,
after the fight.
With the results.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. You already know. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Good show all tonight.
Right. All right, brother.
Crayon is going to take us out. I want to thank everybody who tuned in. It's In the Paint, Realest Show in Sports. We'll be back on, hopefully, Monday. And I'm going to see if I can make a bet with him. Because I need some extra money. I think
you said that John Elway will be the GM for the next 10 years.
I'm going to holler at you tomorrow, Chandler.
All right, help you home.
All right. Yo, Crayon, take us out. Everybody have a great weekend.
Yeah.
Peace.
Yo, my man Max 611, mine's like a weapon. Big brother R, off the new bumpers in R. New York, we walk the walk and we talk the talk. Got some serious sports fans who bark from the heart. Sophisticated talk for your modern day fan. Your number one resource for your fantasy draft. The illest sports show, all you cats got to know. Already we the greatest, imitators got to go. We in the paint, come and join in the debate. We came to shake the stage to the hear us out of space. Where opinions are expressed with rugged intellect. Put it down to represent for the team you love the best. The Knicks, the Giants, the Yankees, the Mets, the Johnnies, the Orangemen, the Huskies, the Jets. And yes, the Islanders, the Devils, and Rangers. When the East is in the house, oh my God, danger.
We in the paint, come and join in the debate. We came to start the convo that'll keep you up to date. Yeah, we in the paint, got the game on smash. Put the whole sports world on blast. We in the paint, getting hot, cause we turning up a notch on the streets with the realest sports talk. We in the paint, meet me at center field tonight. Keep it real, nothing sweet, nothing nice. We in the paint.
In the paint, the realest show in sports. Every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. The call-in number is 347-426-3634. Starring Mark Cunningham as Max 611 and Rodney Jones as Big Brother R.